Thank you, Brother Lonnie. Be turning in your Bibles tonight to the Psalm 23, if you would, please. Appreciate the good singing tonight and appreciate your presence in the service. Thank you so kindly for coming to be with us tonight in this service. And above all, I praise the Lord for His presence in the service tonight. The Bible says, where two or three gather in His name, the Lord has promised that He'd be in the midst of us. And when the Lord's in the presence, or in our presence, or we're in His, I should say, the Bible teaches us that there's joy in the presence of the Lord. Do you feel like that the times that we're living in today are perilous times? And do you feel like that we're approaching soon the end of all this age? Amen. Folks, I tell you, the closer we're coming to the end of the age, it seems like the less effective the church is becoming. And it almost feels like, and it almost looks like, that we're so apathetic in this age that we're living that we don't know how to seek God for a revival. The Bible says that ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And I think the problem is tonight that we don't have our heart into it. I know from being a pastor myself for 37 years that when I was trying to get the church ready for revival, preparing for revival, I would plead with the people, please clear your calendar. Set aside the days of the revival and let nothing hinder you from being a part of the service. And cover your family in the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of the spiritual prayer. That Satan does not try to hinder your family, because he'll do everything in his power to stop the family of God from coming together if he can. And it's amazing to me that even though that I pled often and I worked diligently and we had prayer meetings and we went out and we knocked doors and we invited folks and had outreach campaigns, it just seemed like that when revival came that we couldn't get our church there. And I have pastors tell me a lot of places that I go, they say, preacher, I'd like to have more revivals, but I'm embarrassed because I can't get my own people to come. And I've had pastors to tell me that if it hadn't been for the crowds of other churches coming in, they would have been really embarrassed. But you know what? God knows who's going to be in every service. And God knows all about every heart that's coming. And an old deacon told me several years ago, as did another preacher, that you can't have church with them that's not there. You can only have church with them that are. And so let's have church tonight. What do you say? Stand with us this evening if you would please, and let's read the 23rd Psalm. Brother Brian led us in a reading tonight earlier, the 34th Psalm. And I preached last night out of the 22nd Psalm. And I want you to read with me aloud tonight the 23rd Psalm. When I say begin, read it out loud with me. If you found the 23rd Psalm, say amen. Amen. Begin. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we come into Your presence this evening, and God, we praise You that we can call upon Your wonderful name, and that we can sing praises of You, God, that we can pray to You, and that we can come to the Word of God and preach Thy precious Word in the hearing of this people tonight. But we realize, our Father, the need of the unction of the Spirit of God upon us as well as upon the people, in order that Your Word would penetrate our hearts and teach us and draw to our attention the things that You want us to receive, God, from this service tonight. Lord, You know our hearts. You know our needs tonight. I believe, God, with all of my heart that You love us and care for us, And I believe, God, tonight that You want to bless Your people and that You want to bless Your church tonight all across this world. But Lord, we need to get on our face before You, God, as never before, and begin to seek You with all of our heart and lay aside the weights and the sins that does so easily beset us, Father, and get involved in this race while there's still an opportunity to get involved in it and see people saved. Tonight I pray, Father, that You'll just speak to every heart that's in the building. I pray tonight that You'll hide us in the shadow of the cross and that You'll make our tongue like the pen of a ready writer. Give us a ready recollection and memory of Thy Word, Father. Help us to declare the Word of God this evening, Father. And when all has been said and all has been done, oh God, that there could be the shout of a newborn soul, that there could be some precious one tonight that could find their way to the altar and open their heart door to Jesus and invite Jesus to come in and be Lord of their life. And if there's somebody tonight that's made a profession of faith, but they realize that the relationship that they're in right now is one of an indifferent one and coldness, God, oh, that they would come tonight and that they would drink deep from the waters and wells of salvation tonight and rededicate their life and their heart to You afresh this evening. Sometimes, Lord, it might would do us good if even though we believe all is well, and even if we stood assured in our heart tonight that we're at peace and things are okay, might not hurt us, God, if we'd just pull up a little closer to the table. And if we would just ask You, God, to do something in us that You've never done before, God, that would make us a better servant and a better child of God. Tonight we thank You for Brother Lonnie and pray Your blessings upon him as he labors here. Oh, God, I pray that You'll give him souls for his labors. I pray that You'll encourage your pastor as he goes in and out of this place. Thank You for every church that's represented tonight. Now, God, we ask You to bind Satan tonight and cast him away. And don't let him hinder any part of this service tonight. And we'll be careful to give You the praise and the glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. And all of God's people said, amen. Shake somebody's hand real quick before you're seated, please. Tonight I want to speak to you on this thought, the consolation of the shepherd. The 22nd Psalm is a hymn that I preached about last night on the crucifixion of our Savior. If you look at the 24th Psalm, it is a hymn on the coronation of a sovereign. But tucked between Psalm 22 and Psalm 24 tonight is the glorious 23rd Psalm. That is the consolation or the hymn of a consolation of the shepherd. I'm glad that we have this Hebrew hymn book in our Bibles tonight that we can come to and look at and learn some rich and wonderful truths that are recorded for us in the Word of God. What do you mean, preacher, the consolation of a shepherd? The word consolation means that which comforts, that which refreshes the spirit of man. I don't know about you tonight, but I need the comforting presence of God. And I need the Holy Spirit to refresh me and renew me day by day. The Bible talks about our spirit being renewed and our old man crucified and that we come alive in the things of God. And when I think about consolation and the comfort that that Jesus brings to our hearts, I'm reminded of what the Bible said about a man named Simeon in the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. The Scripture says that Simeon was an old man and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for that moment when God would send the Messiah to the earth and the Messiah would come and not only comfort the earth, but he would refresh the souls of men. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit had revealed unto Simeon that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Wouldn't it be wonderful tonight if every man could say, I know I'll not see death until I've seen the Lord's Christ. And Simeon was a servant at the house of God. And when the day came that Jesus was to be brought and presented in the temple, the Bible says that Simeon came by the Spirit of God into the temple of the Lord. And when Joseph and Mary brought the baby Jesus in that day, the Scripture says that Simeon took Jesus in his arms, and Simeon looked into the face of Jesus. And I believe the Holy Spirit brought that comfort to his heart. And I believe that the Holy Spirit brought a refreshment to him, if you will, the consolation that this is the Messiah. This is the one, Simeon, that I've been telling you about. And Simeon said, Lord, now you can let your servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. Folks, tonight we need to look upon Jesus like we've never had before. We need to get a vision of Him. We need to get our sights set upon this shepherd tonight and learn what a wonderful shepherd He really is, and what consolation He can bring. What great comfort He brings to our lives, as well as refreshment. I don't have to hear a song necessarily to get happy, and I don't have to be in service like this. I can be sitting somewhere with God's Word and begin to read the Word of God, and the consolation of the Holy Spirit can come to me and bring comfort from the Scriptures and begin to refresh and renew. And that's what I pray God will do tonight. I'm not preaching something to you haven't heard, and you've read this psalm no telling how many times in your life. But tonight, if God will help us in our weak and feeble way to just somehow be anointed of His Spirit, and somehow God will open our eyes to see some of the truths that's recorded in this hymn, that we might be comforted from it, and that we might be refreshed, and that we might want to sing unto Him a new song, as the writer of Psalms said. He set my feet upon a solid rock, and He established my going, and He has put a new song in my mouth. I'm telling you, the church needs to see Jesus in a new way, if you will, tonight. Now, there's three things that this psalm reveals to us tonight about this shepherd. And I want to try to share it with you, friend, and I hope that you'll look at it carefully and catch it tonight. First of all, I want you to see that He is a glorious shepherd. I wish tonight I had the words that I could describe the glorious that He has. The excellency, if you will, of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the word glory means. He is the exalted one. He has an excellent beauty about Him. He is full of majesty and He's full of splendor. He's to be celebrated tonight. That's one of the reasons we sing. That's one of the reasons we pray. That's one of the reasons that we testify tonight. I hope tonight, friend, you didn't just come and you're so physically tired you saying, got anything to offer. I would tonight that you just get to amening. I would tonight you just get to pointing or raising your hand or doing something. Because, friend, how many of you know tonight that many times when we go to applying ourselves, the Holy Ghost will pick us up and strengthen us, and we'll become refreshed in His sweet presence. He is a glorious shepherd tonight. Do you suppose if He'd roll the heavens back and let us get a quick glimpse of Him tonight, that we could sit with a sour look on our face? Do you suppose we could sit without shouting? Do you suppose we could sit still tonight? I got a feeling that if the heavens would roll back, this house would be standing and praising Him because He's worthy tonight. The Bible said, from the rising of the sun to going down to the same, our God is to be praised. Hallelujah tonight. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Shepherd of Israel. And He's the Shepherd of our souls tonight. Well, this evening I want to take verse number 1 this evening and show you how He is a glorious Savior. The first thing that I want you to consider tonight are the credentials of this glorious Shepherd. If a doctor come in and I'm needing brain surgery, I want to be sure he's got the credentials to do it, don't you? If I'm getting on an airplane and that guy is going to take me 30,000 feet in the air and carry me to another city, I want to be sure he's got the credentials to do it. If that brain surgeon came in and said, I don't have any schooling, I don't have any understanding of what I'm going to do, but I'm sure going to give it all I've got. And you can trust me, I'll do my best for you. You can have him if you want, I'm checking out. And if I'm getting on the airplane and the pilot says, come aboard, all I've ever flown these things on is Xbox. Xboxes and PlayStations. You can have it. I'm checking out. I'm not getting on there with him. I want to be sure he's qualified and got the credentials to do what he's going to do. Can I tell you tonight, Jesus has the credentials. He has the credentials tonight. What are you talking about, preacher? First of all, look at verse number 1 at his name. The Bible calls him the Lord. He is the Lord tonight. What does that mean tonight? That means his name is a right name for all of time, and it's a right name for all tasks. Oh, tonight, what a glorious name of the Lord Jesus Christ has this evening. This term Lord is a word that in its Hebrew form means Jehovah. And when you look up Jehovah, it means he is permanent. He is from everlasting to everlasting. When there was no world, he was there. When the world comes to an end, he'll still be there. How many of you glad tonight that Jesus is the Lord? And so tonight I want to take the name Jehovah, the Lord, Jehovah, and I want to call your attention to the fact and bear in mind tonight that this name is a right name for all of time and for all of tests. And so tonight, listen carefully, there are 7 titles that are attached unto the word Jehovah in the Bible. And they have for you and me an understanding of how this shepherd works for our lives. First of all, the Bible calls him Jehovah Roya. Jehovah Roya means Jehovah Shepherd. He is the chief shepherd, the Bible says, and he is the great shepherd. He is, if you will, according to the Gospel of St. John, the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He doesn't put the sheep forth and not go ahead of them. He is the one who calls us by his own voice. And the Bible said his sheep hear his voice and we know him. Aren't you glad tonight that you know the voice of the shepherd this evening? And he is Jehovah Roy tonight. And as a shepherd, that means he's watching over you. That means he's caring for you. That means that he's going to take care of you as he leads you through this life. When you say Jehovah Roya, the Lord is my shepherd. You're saying tonight that I understand that I'm under the divine care of a permanent one who has been from everlasting to everlasting. His compassions are new every morning. They never fail, church. His mercies are from everlasting. His forgiveness is forever. How many of you glad tonight that we have a shepherd that has the power to keep us? But not only is he Jehovah Roya, but the Bible calls him Jehovah Shalom. That word Shalom was a term that was referring to peace. And he is the Prince of Peace. In fact, the Bible says, great peace have they who love the law of the Lord. Because everything in the law of the Lord gives revelation to who he is and what he's all about tonight. And so he is Jehovah our peace. And then the Bible calls him Jehovah Raphakah. And that means he's our healer. There's not any hurt that you have tonight that he can't heal. There's not any sickness that he cannot take care of tonight. He is the great physician because he has all power that's in heaven and in earth. Listen tonight, friend. It's not just cancer that he can heal. It's not just heart disease he can heal tonight, but there's brokenness in people's lives, and there's hurt in people's lives, and there's divisions in people's lives. There's all manner of healing tonight that people need, and above everything, the healing from sin. How sin has torn us apart. How sin has destroyed our homes and our families tonight, but Jehovah Raphakah can heal them. We need to get a hold of Jehovah Raphakah and get a healing in our families and in our churches and all across this great land tonight. And then the Bible calls him Jehovah Tsidkenu. That means he's the Lord our righteousness. My righteousness, the Bible says, is like a filthy rag. I have no righteousness tonight and neither do you. But Jesus is our righteousness tonight. How many of you are glad tonight that he is the righteous one for you? Not only is he Jehovah Royal, our shepherd, Jehovah Shalom, our peace. Jehovah Raphakah, our healer. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the righteous one. But he's Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. You might think tonight he's not here, but he is. He is, you're never nowhere that he's not there. I remember reading in the 139th Psalm, one of my favorite Psalms, that he watches me when I sit down and when I rise up. I often think that when I get up, I often think of that verse of Scripture. He saw me when I sat down and He saw me when I rose. The Bible said that He'll compass your path about on several occasions in the course of a day. When I read the 139th Psalm, I like it when it says that He comes and compasses about where you lie down, and He looks upon the thought that you've had for the day. He's like a father that comes in and looks on his little children. I remember going in and looking on my kids, and I'd see such a beauty in their face. I see such an innocence in them. I would fall in love with them deeper every time that I looked in on them. I would pray and whisper, God, keep your hand on them. Watch over them, Shepherd of Israel, tonight. Let no fear, fright, or anything come upon their lives. And I'm telling you, friend, I couldn't leave without going in and wanting to kiss them on the head. And Brenda'd say, don't wake them up, don't wake them up. Because she knew I'd go on to sleep and she'd have to stay up and deal with them. But friend, aren't you glad that the shepherd knows what's on her heart? But listen to me, I'm talking about He is there. A lot of times people say, where are you at, God? Why aren't you here? Why aren't you helping me? I promise you, in every situation you're in, He's there. The writer said in the 139th Psalm, whither shall I flee from His presence? Where could I go that the Spirit of God is not there? If I could go into the heavens, behold, He's there. If I could descend into hell, He's there. The Bible said if I could take the wings of the morning and fly out to the uttermost parts of the sea, He's there. The Bible says if I try to hide in darkness, He's there. The darkness is like light unto Him. You know what I'm glad for, friend? I'm glad that God is always there no matter whether I can feel Him or not. Not only, friend, tonight is He Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there, but He's Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. The Bible says that His banner over us is love. Tonight, God, love is not something God has to do or something God tries to do. It's who He is. The Bible says that God is love, and they that are begotten of Him love even as He has the love for them that He begat. A banner, what does it mean? Well, we have a banner on your left tonight that is a symbol. It is an ensign. A banner on your right tonight that is a symbol and an ensign. And that's what God wants you to understand tonight. That banner has a symbolic ensign that says something tonight. That flag stands quietly in that corner day after day, week after week. It flies on flag poles all across this land. But can I tell you something tonight? That flag has a lot to say. That flag stands for the home of the brave and the land of the free. That flag represents a whole nation of people who have sacrificed their lives on foreign battlefields so that we could be free here at home. The stars and the stripes have a significant representation. I'm going to tell you this, my friend. I don't know how anybody could ever burn that flag, spit upon it, or ever not treat it appropriately. Because when I look at that flag, it makes me proud. Oh, preacher, you're just an emotional, patriotic person. Maybe we ought to get a little bit more patriotism about us in this age. This is a great nation that God has given us. And it cost our forefathers their lives, their blood, and their fortune. And my friend, tonight, I don't believe we got what we got tonight because they had any strength in battle. But I believe we got what we got because we had a holy God who gave us our birth and made us the nation that we are. But oh, I'm telling you, I never hear the Star Spangled Banner and see that flag that there's not a rising of the goosebumps on me. And I love that flag. And for what it stands for, the home of the brave and the land of the free. But I'm going to tell you, I love that flag too. Because that stands for one Savior crucified, risen, and coming again. For all who live and believe upon Him. Amen. Praise God for that banner. Well, listen tonight. What is the banner that God has placed in our lives? He said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one toward another. And the greatest banner we can fly is the banner of love. When we love sinners and they know we love them and we can lead them to Jesus. That's a banner, friend, we need to get to flying. When the world knows that we've got salt and we're the light. That's a banner that we need to fly tonight. The Lord is Jehovah Nissi tonight. The Lord our banner. But then here's the seventh one the Bible gives us. He's Jehovah Jireh tonight, the Lord our provider. How many of you know tonight that God will supply our needs according unto His riches in glory? Many a man in the Bible has stood by faith, as did Abraham, and said God will supply himself a lamb. And when he got upon the mountain and went so far as ready to take the life of his own child, the Lord God said, Abraham, withhold your hand. And he looked, and a ram was caught in the thicket. And the Bible said Abraham called that place Jehovah Jireh, because he said, the Lord will provide. You see, tonight he is the Lord with the right name. No matter what time you live in, he's the right one. No matter what task comes, he's got the right name, my friend, because his name is Jehovah. He's permanent. He's here to stay. The world might reject him. The world might resent him. And some might say, I'll never trust in him and believe in him. But I want to tell you tonight, he's here to stay, because his name is permanent tonight. And I'm glad tonight that he is the glorious shepherd. Then he also has the right nature tonight. When I look at his nature this evening, I realize, though it doesn't say it in verse number 1, the word Lord not only means Jehovah, but the word Lord means God. He is Jehovah God, the Lord God. Amen? People say, who is your God? And I tell them, Jehovah the Lord, Jesus Christ is my God. And his nature is the right nature tonight, because the Bible says that he is omniscient. That means that he is the Elohim that is all-knowing. There's not anything that is not knowledge unto him. Listen tonight, do you think for a moment that when a crisis comes in your life that God ever says, oops? Do you think that God was surprised by anything that happens in your life? Listen to me tonight. There's not anything that happens in this world, in my life or yours, that ever surprises God. He didn't sit around and wait for a crisis to come. But my friend, God already has a plan in place. When God, before He ever made the foundation of the world, He already had a plan in place that when sin entered in upon the scene, He Himself would enter in upon the scene, and He would redeem us through His death, burial, and resurrection, and He would adopt you and I as the sons and the daughters of God. God is always ready to do something when we allow Him. Not only is He the Elohim, the all-knowing God, omniscient God, but He is the omnipotent, all-powerful El Shaddai. What is there in your life that you're trying to handle that you can't handle? What are you trying to resolve that just never gets resolved? What's going on that you're trying to figure it out and you're trying to make it happen? I'm afraid sometimes we're trying to make happen things that we think we have the strength or the ability to make happen. And if God doesn't make it happen, friend, it's just not going to happen. I'm telling you tonight, I don't try to get up in the pulpit and make something happen. I'm not trying to work you up tonight. I'm not trying to stir you up. If I stir you up, it'll mean nothing tonight. But I want the Holy Ghost to stir this generation. I want the Spirit of God to get a hold of us. I'll tell you when we'll know it's the Spirit of God. When we get home and we don't forget it. When in the middle of the night we still can't sleep and we can't forget it. When we get up in the morning and we try to go to work and it's still on our mind. When all of a sudden it's plowed furrows through our hearts and we're still working on us. And when all of a sudden it causes us to start laying down every weight and every sin that does so easily beset us. And when all of a sudden we surrender ourselves and we say, God, I've got to have you in my life. We quit trying to make it happen ourselves and let El Shaddai do it. I'll promise you there will be a greater thing happening when He, the omnipotent one, the all-powerful one, who has the right nature, comes on the scene. But He's also the Adonai, and that is, He is the omnipresent one. He is everywhere present at the same time. And aren't you glad that no matter whether it's in the storm or whether it's in the calm, He, the Lord, is always there. And I cannot tonight justly and rightly give Him all the glory and the excellency that He is worthy of tonight. But I want to tell you tonight just the very fact that He has the right name and the right nature, which is the right credentials. He is a glorious shepherd tonight and always. Amen. But then look at the next part of it. I want you to see that He's a gentle shepherd. Now I'm going to use Brother Lonnie in this message tonight, and may use some others tonight, because he's a preacher and he probably won't get it right. Amen? I'm just picking on him. Lonnie, I'm going to say the Lord is, and you say the rest, okay? The Lord is. No, He's mine. The Lord is. No, He's my shepherd. He didn't get it right. Let me use you, Brother Arliss. The Lord is. He's right. I've never had nobody do that. You blew me away, Brother Arliss. What translation are you reading? Read the King James. The Lord is. You get the point? He's a personal shepherd. And here's something you do not need to miss tonight. Look at how the spelling is. It's a singular spelling of the word my. It means one only. He's the one and only shepherd you'll ever need. And God wrote it in such a way that He's Lonnie's, He's mine, He's Arliss's, He's yours, He's everybody's. They can say, the Lord is my shepherd. What a wonderful God He is. That He would so gently fix it, that if there's only one in the world that would ever believe Him, He'd be their shepherd. The Lord is. The Lord is. You said, church, the Lord is. And He's my shepherd too. What a precious personal shepherd He is. Amen. But then there's not only that He is a personal shepherd, but I want you to look with me beginning at verse number 2 and see that He's a providing shepherd. He graces us by making us to lie in green pastures and beside still waters. Now look up here. He's using terms that a shepherd uses who keeps literal sheep. And when I was studying this 23rd Psalm, trying to learn more about it in depth, I read a book entitled The 23rd Psalm by Philip Keller. Once I read that book, every young preacher from that day forward in my ministry that ever answered the call, I gave him that book. And I said to that young man, you study Psalm 23, and you read Philip Keller's book, Psalm 23. And this is the kind of a pastor you need to learn to become. You see, when the Bible says that He graces us by making us lie in green pastures and giving us still waters, Keller says that a good shepherd makes certain that his sheep has the best and most lush pasture that they can be brought to. While they are grazing in one pasture, that shepherd is already looking for and eyeing another pasture that he can transfer those sheep to. He wants to be sure always that his sheep is getting the very best that they can have. You know what that tells me tonight? The Lord God, who is our shepherd tonight, does not feed us junk tonight. He wants us to have the best there is. That's why tonight it sickens my heart and it saddens my heart and I'm sorrowful at heart at a lot of the nonsense that's being preached in pulpits across this nation tonight. My friend, a preacher has the responsibility of coming to the sheep with a well-prepared message for people to receive from. They may not always receive it because you know what? My daddy used to say you can lead somebody to water, but you can't make a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. My mom used to say, I've prepared hard and put this food out on the table and y'all act like you're not hungry and don't even want to eat it. And the truth of the matter is sometimes we just didn't want to eat it. And we didn't come to the table for that purpose. And we'd take a little bit of something to try to keep from hurting mom's feelings. And sometimes people sit in the church and the preacher's prayed all week and he's prepared all week and he's got ready and he's on fire and he comes into the pulpit and he can see the people are not receiving it and they're not getting it, and all of a sudden he'll kind of get a little stirred up and folks will kind of pick up and listen, and just to help him a little bit and appease him, they'll say, amen, amen, amen. And then they'll go out and say, it's a good sermon. And you know what I got to do as a pastor when they come in Sunday night? I'd say, what did I preach this morning? What did I preach this morning? Tell me the 3 points that I preached this morning. Because see, I don't need you to tell me as a good sermon. You don't compliment me and help me by saying things that you don't mean. In fact, I told my people I'd rather you never say a word, but go live what I preach. Practice living what I'm preaching to you and teaching. Another thing he said, Keller did, the shepherd wanted lush grass and he watched for the moonlit night. Because in the moonlit night, Before the morning, there would be dew on the grass. That's the still waters. The shepherd would not allow the sheep to drink from little puddles along the way. It's what he used his staff to direct them away from, because the sheep would get parasites from the puddles. And I want to tell you something, a lot of people along the way that are drinking from puddles, and they're full of parasites. And the shepherds are not leading them away from the puddles. But Keller said that the dew waters that fall in the night upon the lush grass is a fact that when a sheep eats that lush grass full of the dew from heaven, that sheep can go several days without a drink of water. I'm telling you right now, friend, when we get what God has, it'll not only feed us, but it will refresh us. And it'll refresh and feed and nourish us for many days to come. Amen. But then look at verse 3. Not only does He grace us by making us lie in green pastures and leads us beside still waters, but He's gracious to us. He restoreth our soul. Our soul was dead in trespasses and sins. Our soul was lost without Him. It's as a sheep that has gone astray. And the Bible said, all we like sheep have gone astray. And you heard me preach Sunday morning, if one went from the hundredfold, does he say, well, that one doesn't matter, I still got 99. No, no. You hear me tonight? Every sheep is valuable to God. Everyone. And so aren't you thankful tonight that He is the one who is gracious enough to find us and restore us in our souls? I didn't find Him. He found me. You didn't find Him. He found you. But all, listen tonight, Jesus said, you've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and I've ordained you that you should bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. And the more fruit that you bear, the more you glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Look at verse 4. In verse number 4, He guides us because He leads us in paths of righteousness. Are you seeking the Lord for the paths that you walk? The Bible teaches me tonight that I need to walk in paths that God is leading. It is God that leads us by His walk and by His Word. And God leads us in righteous paths, not down paths that's going to lead us into heartache and sorrow and sin. The devil's the one that wants to get you off of the right path and get you on the wrong path tonight. But God leads us in the right paths. And then look at what He said in verse number 4. He guards us and He governs us with His staff and His rod. Now, Keller said in the book about the staff of the shepherd some very fascinating things. And he says in that book that the staff of the Word of God is what we use to guide the sheep with. The shepherd does not use the staff to brutalize the sheep or to make the sheep afraid nor fearful. In fact, one of the things that was fascinating to me that he said was that when a little lamb was born, he must spend time with the shepherd. The shepherd, one of the first things he did was he made sure that that little sheep smelt that staff. He'd run that staff along the nose of that sheep. He wanted him to get a smell of that staff, because that shepherd, when that little sheep was born, would feel that staff all over, get his scent on it, because he wanted that little sheep to know his scent. So he would put that staff there and let that little sheep smell the staff, because he needed to know the scent of the shepherd. All the while the shepherd's doing that, he's talking to the little sheep and getting the little sheep accustomed to his voice, so that the sheep would know his voice, that when he calls, he could answer. Keller said that you could see sheep farmers all over the hills of Israel bring thousands of sheep into the meadows, and they would graze while the shepherds would rest in the cool of the day. But a shepherd could go out and could make a sound or even a call. And the sheep that did not know his voice never paid him no mind. But the ones that was familiar with his voice would separate out of that fold and form a line. And they'd start following the direction of the shepherd. Remember, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. A stranger they will not follow. They know me and they will follow me. When you see somebody that says they're a sheep following everything but Jesus, mark her down. Something's wrong in that person's experience. Amen. Something else the little shepherd, Keller said about the staff. He said that he would lay the staff on the right side of the shepherd's face or body, and he'd press. And the reason he was doing that is so the little sheep would know that when that shepherd wants to move him to the left, the staff would be on his right side, and he would apply the pressure to move him left. When he wanted to move him to the right, he would lay the staff on the left side of the sheep, and he would press him to move the sheep to the right. And then another thing that he did with the staff is that he would take the large crook and he would put it in under the little sheep's front feet and he would hold him so that the sheep would understand that the staff that's in his hand, if he gets in trouble, is what will reach down and get him in the place where he'll be most secure, and the shepherd can lift him up out of the clutches of danger and the possibility of death. Most of the staffs of the shepherds there not only had the large crook to go up under their breast and their front legs, but it also had another little crook. And the shepherd would take that and put it up under the little sheep's face. And he'd take the oils and rub the eyes of the sheep to keep the parasites. And he'd rub the nose of the sheep to keep the parasites out of his nose. In fact, if you read Keller's book and you get it and read it, you'll have a great appreciation for the 23rd Psalm and the work of a shepherd, which is a diligent work, a caring work, a loving work, a constant talking work, a constant compassion caring that the shepherd must have. And when he'd hold that little sheep up, he'd be talking to him or singing to him, and he'd be putting the ointment on, and he'd say, "Oh, little sheep, I, the shepherd, care for you. You're mine." And he takes good care. I believe a pastor has that same responsibility. Say amen. Aren't you glad he guides and governs? And you know what he doesn't take that staff and do? Smite that sheep. He's not trying to put fear in there. But I want to tell you something. That sheep knows that if he taps him, because he gets him used to tapping him, he's saying, "You better pay attention." And if he don't pay attention, stand up here, Lonnie. If he don't pay attention, that shepherd ain't going to take that staff and whop him. He's not going to do that. But I'll tell you what he will do. He'll take that staff and he'll just keep pushing that sheep. And he'll get him out here. And he'll get him out here where the rest of the sheep aren't at. And buddy, he'll go over him. Amen? Next time Lonnie takes you to the office and go over him, you hug him and kiss him. Because all he's doing is trying to get you back in line. Amen? So he is a good shepherd that guides and guards and governs his sheep. And then the Bible says that he gladdens us. Because in verse 5, he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Do you understand tonight? Most people don't get this. But you're at the table tonight. You're at the table tonight. Some people don't care enough about the church to even want to come to the table. They don't care enough about what's been prepared to come. Listen, friend, the singing should be prepared singing, and it should be the very best we can offer. The testimony time should be ready to give. I mean, has God not done anything good this whole week that we can't come into the house of God and give Him praise for? And what a pity it is when a Sunday school teacher stands up and says, "Well, I didn't get no time to study this week." Right then and there, you ought to sit down. And you'd be better off spending the whole hour praying than sitting and listen to a man who has admitted that he didn't care enough about the Word of God or the things of God, that he would prepare rightly and well what God wants him to give when he comes. I don't think we ought to take this thing lightly, friend, but I'm going to tell you, I believe we've got where we are because of our apathetic attitude. Grab a song on the spur of the moment. Listen, friend, you'll do a lot better job for Jesus if you'll sing all week. And if you'll pray all week, "God, is there something you want me to sing for you Sunday? And did you hear what I said? Sing for you." And I'll tell you something. If you don't think God won't give you a song, He likes to hear you sing. And He'll give you a song, and if you'll come and sing it, it'll mean something in the church. And you know what would be good? If we could get back some Old Testimony meetings where when somebody gets through with a song, they jump up and say, "Brother Lonnie, I've just got to say something." And after that one gets done, say, "Well, I'm glad they said something because I've got to say something too." And I'm going to tell you something, some of the old time testimony meetings we used to have, church and revival would break out a lot of times just in people testifying. And brother, I'm going to tell you, when it got time for the pastor to share his message, because he's already been at the altar and he's already got the table set, the table's been set, he can serve a meal that the people will be delighted to have. God has prepared a table, the church, in the presence of his enemies. And you know what he promised in this place he'd do? Anoint our heads with oil. That's fill us with the Holy Ghost until our cups run over. We ought to want to go home from church every Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday night with an overflowing cup from having been to the table of God. Amen. Now I want to tell you tonight, I'm having a hard time breathing because Connie blessed us at her table tonight. And I'm telling you right now, I went to a wonderful table of food every time that I've gone, but tonight was one of those exceptional times. And I couldn't stop eating. And she fixed us some fajitas. I didn't know I liked fajitas until about 3 weeks ago. My wife said, "Why don't you try them?" I said, "They just don't appeal to me." And she fixed me one and said, "Try it." And I'm telling you, I've never gotten over it. Some of us need to eat some things in the house of God that we'll never get over. And boy, I'm telling you, I smelt that today cooking. And when I seen what it was, I thought, boy, this is going to be good tonight. And she didn't have to tell me to take two. She told everybody as it started, said, "Might as well take two." Carol took one. Jerry took one. I thought, them polite rascals. I went ahead and got me two. I wanted a double portion of that. And you know what? I'd have done well if I'd have stopped at two. But you know what? Something that good, you just better get a little more of it. Amen. Now, I know sometimes Jerry said he was feeling like a blue tick hound? A tick on a blue, on a...
Tighter than a
tick. I got you confused now. Tighter than a tick on a blue ribbon dog.
That's it.
Right? But listen, folks. How long has it been since you have had your cup overflowing from the table of the Lord? We ought to come away from the house of God with such love for one another and with such a greater love and respect and a desire for more holiness and go out and live lives for the glory of this shepherd, the Lord my shepherd. Because He is a glorious shepherd and He is a gentle shepherd. And not only does He gladden us because of the table that He prepares and the anointing that He gives us, but look at this. He gifts us with goodness and mercy that follows us all the days of our life. And then He'll glorify us one day because we'll dwell in His house forever and forever. I thought as Loretta was singing tonight, oftentimes we sing songs that talk about the day that we'll go home and how we long to go home. And friend, I think we don't really understand how wonderful that day is going to be. I don't think that's a frightening day. I think that's a glorious day. It's a hard day for them that we love, that we leave behind. But I'm going to tell you, those saints that step off on that shore have arrived at the most wonderful place in their lives that they'll never have to leave again. You ever been in a service you didn't want to leave and come to the end of a meeting you wish it didn't have to end? And I've been in the presence of people that when we had to say goodbye, it was hard to say goodbye. Man, over there, we'll never say goodbye no more. Amen? And it'll be a time of rejoicing that will go on forever and ever. And then let me give you the final thing tonight. He's a gracious shepherd. He has the right name. He's the Lord. That's His glorious name. He is the gentle shepherd, and His characteristics are that He's a personal shepherd and a providing shepherd. But He's a gracious shepherd because of His completeness. Look at verse 1 again. I shall not want. Say that with me. I shall not want. Now God either meant it or He didn't.
That's right. There you go.
God either meant it or He didn't. And I'll tell you this tonight, friend. I can believe I can stand here and tell you tonight, God meant it. But I can tell you with my own experience that even though He meant it, I've not always experienced it because I fail to believe Him. I failed to believe Him. And instead of trusting Him for my wants or my care, I tried to figure out my way to do it or tried to figure out the best way I thought I could do it. Instead of just standing still and saying, God, I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to make any move. I'm not going to try anything. I'm going to wait on You who is the shepherd of my soul and the bishop of my soul. How complete is He? Well, let me tell you this tonight. He'll make sure you have your provisions. He'll provide all of your needs according to His riches and glory. He'll see to it that you have a peace that passeth all understanding. One of the greatest things that He provides as a gracious shepherd is pardon for our sins. Do you know, friend, listen, you hadn't ought to close your eyes at night and go to sleep until the Son of Peace tells you all is well. All is well. Often we as saved people live our lives as if we don't think we ever need to repent. And the truth of the matter is, friend, if you're going to live like you ought to live and live close to God, you're going to need to do a lot of repenting every day of your life.
Amen.
Because the Bible said, if I tell you I have no sin, I'm the one deceived.
That's right.
And if I want to get it right with God and have pardon, I need to confess my sins to Him daily and have a personal cleansing daily. One of the things I try to do every day when I lay down, no matter how tired I am or how sleepy I am, I wait for the Son of Peace to assure me that when I close my eyes, that if I never wake here, I'll wake okay with Him, His presence. Preacher, I thought you said that you had some security in Him. That's the security you have, is when you seek Him and He says, all is well.
Amen.
Rest, child. All is well. There's been a few times that He said, all is well, rest, child, that I couldn't rest. I had to sing to Him. I had to roll out of the bed and praise Him a little while. I had to get out of the room because I knew I'd get stirred up and wake up Brenda. But I'm going to tell you something. You'll never get tired serving God because He'll refresh you in His sweet presence. Amen. Now, let me tell you something else He provides in His completeness. He gives posterity. I remember when God was dealing with me to preach the gospel, and I hadn't lived like I should have lived for the Lord, but I went back to church and rededicated my life. And God was dealing with me about preaching the gospel. I said, where will I go? Nobody knows me. Nobody's ever heard of me. And God said, just keep going to church. That's what He told me, just keep going to church. And one day the preacher of the church, he said to me as I was going out, he said, God called you to preach? And I said, yes, before I thought. If I'd have had any time to think about it, I'd have told him no. Brenda didn't know it. She was right behind me and I said, yes. And I turned back and looked at her and she looked like a deer in the headlights. And he said, come tonight and preach. And I said, okay. And then I went out and got in the car and I was mad at myself. And I thought, I ain't never preached in my life. What am I going to preach tonight? And I went home, studied all day, and I decided. I found one verse of Scripture that just kept sticking to my heart, Romans 6:23. But I told God, I said, really, God, I want to wait till August. This was in February. I need to wait till August. Now, don't ask me why August. That just sounded good to put it off. But I said, I'm going to go back to the church tonight. I'm going to get there early because I know the pastor's there early. And I'm going to go in and tell him, Brother Dan, I can't preach tonight. I need to wait till August. And I told Brenda that night, I said, I got to postpone this. We went to church early and I'm going up the steps and that rascal jumps out of that door on me and he said, you got the message, don't you? And I said, yes, sir. And I hated him. And I had to go to the basement and repent for my hatred attitude toward him. You know, he told me later, he said, I knew what you was doing and I wasn't going to let you do it because it was time to start. I'm going to tell you, that's the longest 5 minutes I ever spent in my life. And now you wish it was 5 minutes, don't you? But from that night till this night, the shepherd has been sending me forth. And one of these days, he'll send me the last mile of the way. But you know what he gave me in posterity along the way? He gave me her. He gave me 4 wonderful children. He gave me 8 beautiful grandkids and the 9th one's on the way. He's given me a whole lot of friends and loved ones and acquaintances along the way. He's given me prayer warriors. He's given me helpers. He's given me a family to go to heaven with. What a posterity He has provided as the gracious shepherd of my soul. So tonight as we get a song ready, He's the crucified Savior of Psalm 22 who felt the abandonment of God. He felt abhorred by mankind. He was abused by Satan. But He abounded with a great victory. He's the shepherd of consolation of Psalm 23. He has the right name for He is the Lord, Jehovah. He is Jehovah my shepherd. He is Jehovah my peace. He is Jehovah my healer. He is Jehovah my righteousness. He is Jehovah who is always there. He's Jehovah my banner. He's Jehovah my provider. He's my Elohim, my El Shaddai, my Adonai. That is, He knows it all. He has all the power. And He is always and ever present with me, no matter where I go in life. He's a gentle shepherd who is guiding me with His grace and who is guarding me with His staff. Who is gladdening me at His table. Who is gifting me. And one day will glorify me. He's the gracious shepherd that has said, you shall not want. I'll see to your provisions. I'll make sure you have pardon. I'll give you a posterity. I'll have my presence always with you. That'll be your protection. And because I'm there, you'll have plenty. But when it's all done, I'll meet you at the river. And then I'll take you to paradise. And you have never seen, nor heard, nor has it ever entered your mind, what I have ready for you in glory land. Now friend, I don't know who you're looking to tonight, but that kind of a shepherd brings me comfort and refreshment of spirit.